We ain't even out in Turks, she finna take sand. Riding around with F and then we like to hold hands. Bo was too sip, die, he ain't need a bed. Then I did the pint of tech in a cold red. If I tell it to pull her, she gon' mo pit it.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma with you. Alex Drove, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you on this Sunday morning. Thanks to Jason Wilde for breaking down all things green and gold with us. Free agency opens tomorrow, and boy, am I excited. You get the Myles Garrett news just moments ago. He is staying put in Cleveland, the highest paid non-quarterback contract in NFL history. Not completely shocking, and a man who has said the entire time, Myles Garrett is going nowhere, is Gabe Neitzel of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, who joins us now in the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studio. You can hear Gabe tonight, 620 WTMJ, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Filling in on the Bucks Radio Network on Play-By-Play. What's up, Gabriel? How are you?
What's going on, boys?
Myles Garrett is going on. That is
$40 million a year, 123 guaranteed.
Not bad. DK Metcalf's asking for 30.
Look, the cap went up by $10 million kind of unexpectedly, like more than everybody was projecting, and the cap's gone up $100 million since 2021, just a little under, but basically $100 million since 2021. We have to get used to these outrageous and outlandish numbers because, well, the money's got to go somewhere.
You in on DK?
Now that they're kind of down on their price, which we all kind of knew was going to happen, right? Like, he wasn't going to get a first. They weren't going to get a first and a third. Now that they're down to a second-round pick, yeah, I would be in for a second-round pick.
Okay.
I'm fine with paying him 28 or 30, whatever it ends up being.
But that comes with the understanding of you're probably not bringing back Watson or Dobbs then, right? Like, after this year?
Well, I don't think I would want to bring back Dobbs anyway.
I wouldn't either.
It's kind of a flip, you know, coin flip if you want to bring back Watson. It all depends upon how he recovers from his ACL, and maybe it's because, you know, the Packers have had some knees that have kind of, you know, tripped him up over the last handful of years. I'm a little skeptical that he's going to be what he was even before, and he had his limitations before. Like, at the very least, the knee injury for Christian Watson's going to stunt the growth. Like, at the very least. And who knows what he's going to be worth in free agency when he hits that next year.
Well, the other part of that, too, is pretty similar skill set to Watson, at least like vertical threat.
Yeah, but he can also do more than what Christian Watson can do.
He's a better receiver,
I mean, Christian Watson, that's what I want Christian Watson to be when he grows up. The problem is DK Metcalf is also like a specimen. Like, the dude is just solid. He's a stud, plays 15 games every single year.
He's a little more reliable, a little bit more, built more durable.
Exactly, yes. Durable. Like, the dude is just, he's a unit.
Gotta be careful what I say, because, you know, his daddy.
Yeah, his dad gets after you.
What, Christian Watson's dad?
Yeah.
So me and Kyle have realized we now have beefs with multiple Packers. He's gotten into it on Twitter with Christian Watson's father. Tucker Kraft posted me on a story over the weekend saying that sports,
I heard that.
Yeah, so.
Tucker wasn't wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker, you've got a beef with Tucker. He's just got a beef with a guy's dad.
I ain't got beef with him.
Well, and Christian Watson's brother came at you at one point.
Yeah, tried to double team me, you know what I'm saying? I took it like a man.
What did you say that was so wrong about Christian?
Bruce!
You remember during the summer, during the practice, when he went down, and like, everybody got on the knee, and everybody was all like,
turned out it was just a bruise.
It was a bone bruise.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is a little dramatic. It's a lot.
Well, I mean, that's...
I mean, it probably hurt, but we canceled. We ended practice.
Yeah, that's right. Like, everybody's down. When everybody goes down on a knee, like, that it seems like it should be serious. So, like, while I was thankful that it wasn't more serious, Chewy talks about that all the time. Like, he talks about it all the time from a former player's perspective. Like, if the cart comes out for you and then you're playing the next week, your teammates are going to give it to you.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, I'm just not a teammate. And so his parents and his brother didn't appreciate that. That's okay, though. We cool now.
This is also the same guy that, like, on one hit guy had, like, five different injuries and somehow played the next week. Like, learning to play with those little nicks and dings is part of the NFL, and unfortunately for him, it's something that he hadn't quite figured out. Now, this one, obviously, a big one.
Yes, this one's a little bit different.
This one is devastating because he was definitely, for me, I feel like, He didn't have the year I wanted him to have.
Right.
But I did see improvement, also leadership as well.
It felt like if any of those receivers improved, it was him.
Post-bye, he was playing his best football. Like, he had, there was one catch he had where he made a great adjustment on the sideline where he thought it was going to be maybe toward the middle of the field but had to kind of turn to get his shoulders more facing the sideline, made a great adjustment, which is something that we had criticized a lot. Him making adjustments with the ball in the air when he made that catch. Oh, okay. This guy's starting to grow, and unfortunately then had the knee injury. And I do wonder if that ultimately spells the end for him in Green Bay.
We're going to do my own version of the 7 at 11 coming up next. I have 7 quick-hitting topics for Gabe and Kyle coming up next that we are going to rifle through. There will be some basketball. There will be some Packers-related stuff. There will be non-sports-related stuff in our my own version of 7 at 11, which is coming up next right here on Sunday Karma.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Pipe down, throwing up shots. First we shut them down, then we open up shop. Willis around just in case y'all forgot. They've been trying to stop. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Yeah, Sunday Karma with you on a Sunday morning. Alex Drift, Kyle Wallace, and our buddy Gabe Neitzel is here. The highlight of my, I told my girlfriend this last night, the highlight of my career was yesterday when I received a text message that said, would you take a day off, from a man that literally doesn't take a day off, and Gabe Neitzel.
I'm off tomorrow.
Yeah, you're going to Vegas?
Going to Vegas tomorrow, yeah.
Are you a gambler, or is this a golf thing?
This is a golf thing. Okay. The Wisconsin PGA does an event out there, so I'm going out with my guys from X-Golf.
Ooh, Wisconsin PGA, aren't you fancy?
No, not really. Like, I'm an amateur. It's a pro-am. You take one of the, club professionals. So my buddy Andy, who's the pro at X-Golf AmFam Field, we've had him on the show before. He's my pro. We've got 4 amateurs just playing golf.
When you say amateur, does that mean, like, do you play in, like, a league?
No, I'm just an amateur golfer.
What does that mean?
I don't get paid to play golf. I'm non-professional.
Oh, so I'm an amateur golfer too?
Correct, yeah.
Oh! Yes, you also are. Yes, that's accurate.
Yeah.
I thought that was more significant, right?
Nope.
Oh, well, there's no
bigger meaning behind the word amateur. It's just, I'm not professional.
I just thought that because a lot of times when young people got on the Tiger Woods hat, when he was an amateur, right, coming up.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, he's a significant one. I didn't realize anybody
Me and Tiger
on the same level at some point. Well, skill-wise.
He was the best amateur, but yes, you were both amateurs, yes.
Okay, look at that.
I don't know where you were on the ranking. He was just, number one.
Okay, cool.
All right, here we go. 7 and 11. You didn't say that on the air, did you?
I did not.
Okay, good. 7 and 11. I have 7 questions written out. I have no particular order I want to go in, but I just want to rapid fire through some questions with you. Kyle, pick a number 1 to 7.
Oh, let's go with lucky number 4 for Brett Favre.
All right, daylight savings today. Yes or no on daylight savings?
No, because I am an early riser. And the fact that, like, I was finally starting to get a little bit of sunlight as I'm driving in to do the morning show, and now that's just gone for the next month and a half, like, it just makes me a little sad.
That's fair. Kyle, yes or no on daylight savings?
I'm a big traditionalist, right? Like, I like it. The farmers may not need it anymore, but I like telling the story of the history of why we had daylight savings time. And I like a little switch up, a little change up in my life, a little change up in a time, springing forward or falling back. It just makes life interesting.
I feel like we are the wrong group to be talking about this because I feel...
We're not farmers?
People who have kids, especially small children, like, it's just tough. Like, they file into a routine, and it's just tough to get them out of that, sleep routine. The fall or the spring, it's just tough to deal with.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
I can't imagine, yeah.
Bringing them to school in the dark, that's no fun.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right, let's go to, let's stick non-sports. So, when I moved to southeastern Wisconsin...
No number?
This is number 2 on my list.
Oh, okay, you're not going to ask Gabe what number he wants?
We'll get back to that.
Generous to our guests?
We'll get back to that. I just want to hit the other non-sports thing, then we'll go back to sports. So, when I moved to southeast Wisconsin about a year ago, I am an avid fish fry lover, right? So, probably 2 to 3 Fridays a month, I'm going to get a fish fry. I went to get one on Friday.
Ain't no way.
Frame. What's that?
You're not putting enough meat on your
Shut
bone.
Shut up, Kyle. So
it's fish. It's healthy.
I was introduced to the idea of potato pancakes.
Yeah, that is the traditional way to have a fish fry.
What do you introduce? Introduce when?
When I moved to Milwaukee.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So
I've
lived all over the state. I've lived in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Stevens Point. I've lived in Madison. I've gotten many, many fish fries in all of the cities. Never have I ever had potato pancakes listed as an option for
so
me.
You didn't actually have a fish fry until you moved to Milwaukee.
So here's the
for
thing.
Real.
When I moved to Milwaukee, I was introduced to this on Friday. I had a fish fry, potato pancakes with applesauce. And you put the applesauce on the potato pancakes.
That's correct.
This is the normal way to eat fish fries?
Yeah, that's the traditional fish fry. The potato pancake is the traditional fish fry.
So you grew up in southwest Wisconsin?
No, because Horicon's only an hour north of here.
Oh, it's north.
Just a hair west.
Yeah, that tells you I know nothing about Horicon.
Right up 41, right?
Yeah, just right up 41,
so
get up on 33, and just south of Fond du Lac, yeah.
Okay.
About a half hour, 40 minutes south of Fond du Lac.
Potato pancakes there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, potato pancakes.
Yeah.
And you grew up with potato pancakes.
Make your potato pancakes, pretend that it's the weekend. You get it or no? Jack Johnson, banana pancakes.
Yeah, banana pancakes.
Pancakes, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're delicious. Delicious, and I love me a good fish fry.
That is the preferred way. Like, if you do not have potato pancakes for your fish fry, I am judging your fish fry.
Oh, wow. See, I don't go that far because it's about the fish for me. I'm an all-you-can-eat guy, but, you know, right now I'm losing some weight, so I can't indulge the way I used to.
Yeah, interesting.
And by the way, Perch is the best fish fry. Fish
really?
Fish fry. Perch is the way to go.
So here, I can't do
Perch on Friday.
You know why I can't do Perch?
Why?
I can only do cod. Because when I was in middle school,
Haddock?
I can do that. But when I was a kid, we dissected a perch fish. And you dissect it. You see all those eggs inside. Never forget this girl, Destiny Johnson, now a doctor now, or got her doctorate. And I just remember she was just digging her hands.
So Dr. Johnson.
Dr. Johnson was digging her hands all in there, and I think the fish had eggs in it. And I'm like, what is this, the perch? I said, nope. I'm never eating it. Never eating it.
I can understand why that would scar you.
Some more cod,
I get it. I get that. That makes sense.
All right, let me delete these two questions. Pick a number 1 through 5, Gabriel.
We'll go with number 3.
DK or Devontae?
I think I want Devontae.
All right.
I think I would lean more towards Devontae just because the more I reflect on the free agent class, like, it just doesn't blow me away. And I don't know if you're going to be able to solve all your problems with a free agent or two. So I think while I would, look, if they spend a second round pick on DK Metcalf, will I be excited?
Yes.
Of course I will.
Of course you will.
I will show up back on the show on Friday super excited. But I think at this point, if I had the preference, I would rather have Devontae be kind of this 1-2 year stopgap, try to see if you can continue to develop the guys that you have that would be ready to take over for him, backfill the position with a second or third round pick at wide receiver, and keep going from there. The Packers have some holes, and I think I would prefer to have your first, second, and third round pick if possible. But look, you got to give up something if you're going to get a player like DK Metcalf.
I think it's unanimous, right? Kyle, you said earlier you're in on Devontae. I'm obviously in on Devontae. It's unanimous across the panel here.
Yeah, it is unanimous. Ooh, almost messed up there. Because of the fact that I just simply like something that I know, right? Like, we understand what Devontae can bring. He's still a very talented wide receiver. And less of that long-term commitment and less of a financial commitment where you will have to make a decision on Jaden Reed coming up in a couple years. It'll be nice to be able to still have some money freed up versus trying to pay a guy $30 million at receiver in DK. And, you know, who knows? Jaden might command $25 to $30 million himself a couple years from now. As Gabe talked about, the free agency, the salary cap continues to go up, so that might be normal for receivers about 2 years from now.
The NFL keeps inventing days and streaming services to put games, so yeah, that cap number going to continue to climb.
Have they played on every day? Because I feel like they played a game on a Tuesday one time because it was a makeup game.
Oh, yeah, they've played on every. The last 2 years, they've played on every, because Christmas was on a Tuesday a couple of years ago, obviously Christmas on a Wednesday this year. So within the last 2 years, they have played on every day of the week.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. Times we live in. Kyle, number 1 through 4.
Go ahead. Let's go through number 1.
This is going to be a long conversation. aside from draft picks, do you believe the Packers may run back the wide receiver position? I just asked you, DK or Devontae. Is there a point where maybe the answer is neither, and they draft a receiver, and your top three entering week one are Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Romeo Doubs?
I say no. No matter what, I think they're going to add at that position. Now, Maybe you add somebody to the ilk, and we apparently we've banned the name Sammy Watkins on our show on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Chewy brings it up so much. But maybe you add somebody like that who just doesn't, up. What I'm just saying, like, if you add somebody
like that, give me Devin Funches instead of that. Even Devin never played.
The pandemic didn't help.
Yeah. So, but if you add somebody that you think might be able to help but isn't quite ready from their injury, somebody like Chris Godwin. Like, I have no idea what he's going to look post-ankle injury. Really good before. Seemed like a really tough ankle injury that he suffered halfway through. Who knows when he's going to be ready?
Yep.
So maybe he doesn't contribute the way you think. And, yes, the three that you have are your top three going into the regular season.
I'm kind of worried there might be a scenario in which a name like Josh Palmer of the Chargers ends up in Green Bay.
No, thank you.
Where it's like a, okay. That doesn't do much for me.
No, I think there's a very high chance they run it back, but I think the only difference is where Gabe's thinking about they may sign somebody. I'm thinking Goody's probably going to draft somebody early. If he strikes out and he misses on anything he's looking at in free agency on a high level, right? Like, we know that the Packers, or we don't officially know, but there's been rumors that the Packers have made a call about DK, right? And there's some, rumblings that the Packers may be open. We know, according to Jason Wilde, that Devontae Adams is open to coming back to Green Bay, right? But I do believe if they strike out and get nothing in free agency, I see them drafting a receiver probably in the second round again.
No matter what, I think they use a draft pick on a receiver in the first 2 days. Mm. No matter what. Even if they add
first
somebody.
First 2 days?
Yeah, uh-huh. So rounds one through three.
Not at least second day. First.
First 2 days.
First round.
Potentially.
Wow.
If somebody's there. They have to continue to backfill that position. Again, Goody's talked about it a lot, where it's not just, hey, I'm worried about 2025. I got to be looking at 2026 and beyond as well. And we just mentioned it with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Who knows if you're going to be re-signing those guys, which just leaves you with the two guys who are also going to be up for then contract extensions or going to be free agents past 2026. You got to start backfilling that position the way that Ted Thompson used to, and I think they start doing that this year.
Mm.
Can't just ignore that position. I think you've been able to ignore it for the most part the last couple of years because of what you did in getting Watson and Doubs in a draft, and then the following year with Reed and Wicks. But now we're at that point. You got to start backfilling that position with at least a high draft pick this upcoming year.
Last Packers one. Over under 0.5 free agency signings announced tomorrow.
I will go over.
I will also go over.
Deo Obingyanyo. Ode Bingyo. Ode Bingo. How do you say his name?
You have Potawatomi over there? What are you doing? You're just yelling out bingo? What's
going
on? No,
there's a rush defensive end, a rush.
Are you referring to the guy from the Colts?
Deo Obingyanyo.
I don't think his name is Bingo.
It's like you just yelled bingo.
It is now.
Bingo.
It is now.
No, listen.
If the Packers sign that guy, all I'm going to do is call him Bingo.
Honor of Kyle. Deo Odeyingbo. How about that? That's going to be the guy.
Odeyingbo?
Yes, that's going to be the guy. That's
going
to be
bless you.
The Packers have money to spend, and that's something we talked about before. When the Packers have had money to spend, they have spent it, right? They spent it in 2019. They saw him spend it last year. And now this year, Goody talked about a sense of urgency. So I do believe that he's going to have a sense of urgency tomorrow, and some name is going to be announced. So I'm excited for what's to come because I know the Packers are going to bring in reinforcements because Goody knows right now the window is open.
Regular season finales yesterday for both Marquette and the Badgers, and both Marquette and the Badgers lose in their regular season finales. The Badgers lose the double bye in the Big Ten tournament with the loss to Penn State. Marquette has had some tough sledding. Fun basketball game yesterday in the overtime loss to St. John's, but certainly not the result they were hoping for. Gabe, I'll start with you. Are you more concerned about Marquette or Wisconsin as we enter conference tournaments this week?
I guess I'm not super concerned about Marquette. And maybe it's just because I've kind of accepted who they are and what they could potentially do. Like, if somebody gets hot from three, which we saw the first couple of months, 2.5 months of the season, they could easily make it to a Sweet 16. If they shoot the ball, kind of the way they did, a couple of games ago where David Joplin's the only guy to make a three, that could be an early exit. Like, for them, I know what they are. I know what the answer is. It all comes down to three-point shooting, and they get open looks. Like, they run good offense. They generate good looks. They just haven't been able to knock them down, and that's kind of been the issue for them. So, with Wisconsin, I guess I'm maybe a little bit more concerned because, look, Marquette lost to the best team in the Big East yesterday.
They sure did.
In overtime, in a game they could have very easily won.
Mm-hmm.
Shot very poorly from the free throw line. So if we're going especially just off yesterday, the loss by Wisconsin,
much
a
worse.
Little more concerning. And now you also lose the double bye, so you're going to be a little bit more beat up if you make any sort of run in the Big Ten tournament going into the NCAAs. That's all not a good recipe for them.
Yeah, two bad losses for Wisconsin in the last 2 weeks. You know, the loss to Oregon, I believe it was, at home, and now Penn State.
Yep.
Two bad losses for Wisconsin. I'm not as concerned about them because I do still think their ceiling is Sweet 16. Marquette is the one where I was hoping yesterday they could win that ball game and get some type of momentum right to ship, beat a good team and get some confidence because, like Gabe said, I think they're a very talented basketball team. They just have not been able to beat anybody that's good the last 2 months, Gabe.
I think you can still walk away from that game. I think that's one of those games as a coach, if you're Shaka. Yes, it's heartbreaking to lose, especially in overtime on senior day when you're honoring one of the greatest groups of seniors, one of the most accomplished groups of seniors that the university's ever seen. So that's disappointing and heartbreaking. But I think you can still walk away from yesterday's game with a lot of positives, losing in overtime on a fluke. Like, Chase Ross just happened to lose. Just got poked away on the rebound.
It's a
fluky play, and that's how you lose. But, we just played with the number six team in the country.
Right. Who looks like the number six team in the country, by the way.
And you get out of the Big East, and you play some of that shock of defense against some teams that aren't used to it. I would not be shocked if Marquette makes a run of the second weekend.
Kyle, ask that question again.
Did they really flip the bird?
Did you see this?
I did not, but I heard from multiple people in attendance that the bird was flipped by players from St. John's to the crowd, yes.
Okay, interesting. Didn't see it on TV. We only saw Marquette fans flipping the bird.
Yeah, because they were flipping it back, which, again, you shouldn't do. Like, let's keep the birds to ourselves. Everybody involved.
All right,
I'm not a fan of birds either.
Number seven.
They're terrifying.
They are. They really are. They swoop down on you, and then.
Thank you.
You guys are idiots. Last one for you. The Milwaukee Bucks have quite a stretch, which starts tonight. Gabe Neitzel on the call on the Bucks Radio Network. You can hear him 100.5 ESPN in Madison, 620 WTMJ against the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is their next seven games. Home against Cleveland at the Pacers, who are just one spot behind them in the standings. Home against the Lakers Thursday, home against the Pacers next Saturday, home against the Oklahoma City Thunder next Sunday, and then they go on a five-game road trip, which includes at Golden State, at the Los Angeles Lakers. That's the next seven games over the course of the next 11 days.
Oh, let's do it!
How important is this stretch to determine how good the Bucks truly are?
Oh, it's huge, and look, those Pacer games are particularly big if they want to try to get home court advantage in that opening round. And look, if you play really well in this stretch, that three seed's not out of the realm of possibility because the Knicks are going to be without Jalen Brunson the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Now, disappointing to lose last night. Orlando did a really good job of taking the Bucks out of what they wanted to do and forced them into a lot of ISO situations. But the first two times this year the Bucks played the Cavs, they played them really well, really tough, one-point losses both times around. I think it starts getting hopefully Gary Trent Jr. back tonight so you have a little bit more depth instead of just eight guys that you basically played with last night. I'm really looking forward to this stretch because I think the Bucks are playing some really damn good basketball. And I think even if you just go 4-3 in this stretch, you feel good about it, kind of heading into the last month of the season.
Right there with you. And Jericho Sims making some great plays defensively yesterday. Kevin Porter
baptized
Jr.
baptized Jonathan Isaac.
Sure did. Kevin Porter Jr. has been awesome.
Okay, so Jericho Sims, he's a big boy.
Sure
he's got wide shoulders, and he's 6'9",
and a big
6'10".
Head of hair, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Do you see that guy coming towards you in a fast break? I think Jonathan Isaac did the right thing. Like, Isaac was set. He was ready to take the charge and then saw Jericho Sims leave the earth and just leap into the air, and he's looking at him going, nope, and he just starts falling back before the contact. Like, nope, I want nothing to do with taking the contact from that man. Made a business decision on what was probably my favorite play last night, Jericho Sims getting a fast break dunk.
His only points of the game, but three blocks defensively off the bench in 13 minutes. Sneaky 40 minutes from Torian Prince last night? Who played well. 13 points for him.
The Magic have a lot of size, so his defense and size was kind of required last night.
This is an interesting game, though. Good comeback effort. Obviously, it falls short. They lose 111-109 to the Magic.
I think, and honestly, it could be a situation. Doc talked about it after the game about the team not having enough effort, especially through the first three quarters, and the Magic were desperate. They had lost five games in a row and probably played just a little bit harder than the Bucks did until the feverish comeback attempt. Maybe you're overlooking a little bit because you have that big matchup with the Cavs coming tonight. Which means one thing. You got to show up tonight.
Indeed.
And if you, look, if they win tonight and you go, okay, they went 1-1 on a back-to-back and won the game, I'd probably prefer them to win.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I think they can make you forget about Magic, the Magic game last night, very quickly if they come away with the win over the Cavs tonight.
And as you mentioned, expected to get Gary Trent Jr. back tonight after that hyperextended knee. So that will be a nice piece for them off the bench tonight. Gabe, I'll let you save your voice. You were on the call tonight on the Bucks Radio Network. It is Bucks Cavaliers at Fiserv Forum tonight, a big one to start off this really important 7-game stretch. Thanks for popping on Sunday Karma, Gabriel.
Yeah, anytime, boys.
And enjoy your trip to Las Vegas. Swing them straight. Before we get to break, Kyle, tell us about our friends over at Gruber Law Offices.
Yeah, it's always one call, that's all, at Gruber Law Offices. What I love about them, listen, I made one call, that's all, and they took great care of me. I'm telling you this right now. I had to go to physical therapy. They set me up with that. When it came to going back and forth with the insurance companies, they said, no. We're going to take care of this for you. And you see the billboards. You see them at games. You see how they are committed to the community. But how they are committed to community is the same way they are committed to you. See, they are people, right, who are helping families who are seriously injured in accidents. They stand up for you as a victim, and they let you focus on healing as a client while they focus on the legal aspect. And you know what I love about Gruber Law Offices is the fact that there's no fee. There's no single penny that you have to spend until you win your case. So get with the winning team today that gets the results that truly speak for themselves with Gruber Law Offices by calling them at 414-276-6666. That's 414-276-6666. Or visit them at gruber-law.com, because you already know it's one call, that's all, with Gruber Law Offices.
More Sunday Karma right after this.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
EBT to get seafood. Now Uber Eats when I want Kiku. She want to hang, got to let the gang.
ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
DJ Kyle Wallace, Alex Roof, hanging out with you this Sunday morning. It's Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. We talked about it briefly last segment with Gabe Neitzel, who joined us. You can hear him tonight, Bucks Cavs, on the Bima Bucks Radio Network, 100.5 ESPN Madison. You will hear it right here. And if you're in Milwaukee, 620 WTMJ, 103.3 FM as well. You can catch Gabe and Justin Garcia on the call. Huge one tonight for the Bucks, Cavs and Bucks. But I want to go to college basketball. We are 1 week away from Selection Sunday. I can't freaking wait, man. This is it's the best time of the year. Conference tournament time, which, as a fan, I don't want to say I enjoy this upcoming week more than the NCAA tournament, because, duh. But this week is so fun, because these teams that play one another in the conference tournaments, no matter it's the Big East tournament, the Big Ten tournament, et cetera, the SEC tournament, ACC, these teams know each other so well and all of their tendencies. You see upsets galore this week, because this is the third time you're playing a conference opponent, likely. Now, I know we have bigger conferences, so not every team plays each other twice. But this is, everybody knows everybody and what they want to do and what they want to try to do. So you learn a lot, and you see a lot of upsets this upcoming week. But you saw two games yesterday, for the Badgers against Penn State and for Marquette against St. John's, who's one of the best teams in the country. You saw bad losses. Now, for Marquette, not as bad as Wisconsin, because you were in the game, you brought it to overtime, and really, Gabe Neitzel just called it kind of a fluky way to lose, which it was, right? Like, it was a missed shot by St. John's, the rebound flies around, St. John's gets a great look for an ultimate buzzer beater and a game winner at the end of the overtime period here at Fiserv Forum. But Marquette's been playing a little rough the last month or so. They've lost 6 of the last 10 games. And it seems like their offense has sputtered, at least as the last few months. Now, Cam Jones was terrific yesterday against St. John's. He was absolutely terrific on senior day. But been inconsistent, at least a tad inconsistent offensively. And for a guy that was certainly, if not near the top, was in the National Player of the Year conversation earlier this season, he hasn't played to that level, at least consistently, as of late. That's not to say he can't turn it on over the course of the next few weeks and lead Marquette back to the Sweet 16 for the second straight year. But you need him to do more offensively. And you need guys like David Joplin to be consistent for Marquette. They are still a team that is built to go far, but it is going to be tougher for them now. They lose again and will likely be looking at a 5 or 6 seed come next week in Selection Sunday, unless they go on a great run in the Big East tournament.
They need to. They need to, unless, like, you're right, right? I think five seed is probably their ceiling unless they win the Big East tournament.
Then they might get a four.
But,
I would agree.
But as Gabe said, though, is that hopefully this can give them some confidence. I actually think that it might be, it's like a dagger to the chest because you literally gave everything, right? You had senior day and you had a great senior class and you let it, you know, you let it all hang out and you still lost that game. And so instead of getting confidence and saying, when we're locked in, we're focused, when we give it our all, we can compete with the best of them. You instead say, we gave it everything we could, and we still cannot win that basketball game. So at the end of the day, I'm more concerned about Marquette, but Wisconsin losing that game to Penn State yesterday. You know what? If Wisconsin, if they get hot, they shoot the three ball well, they'll be okay. They just got to put up points. And unfortunately, yesterday, they lost a bad game.
They did. They did. And when you look at Wisconsin, it's a game they never should have lost to Penn State. Penn State's not good. They're not an NCAA tournament team.
Nah, you can't lose those games, especially at home. One thing on the road.
Now, you're without Max Klesmit still, who hopefully returns this week in the Big Ten tournament.
It'd be
but
nice
it should,
to have him
back. It should make a difference against a team like Penn State. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is a team where, you know, earlier in the season, we go, whoa, they've reinvented themselves. And then the season continues. And we go, oh, my God, the reinvention project is real for Wisconsin. Right? They're a three-point shooting team. They're a fast break team. They're still good defensively, but they're scoring 80 points a night. Where did this come from? And Greg Gard, rightfully so, has gotten his way into the National Coach of the Year conversation. He might even win it. Right? Bruce Pearl, obviously, at Auburn has a really good case. He's got the best team in the country. But Greg Gard is in that conversation. I'm concerned for both of these teams. Now, this week could completely... I could come back next Sunday on Selection Sunday and change my tune. But,
I mean, Sweet 16 is the ceiling for both.
I mean, but that felt like the floor at one point.
Oh, maybe to you, not to me.
This season. It felt like both of these teams had a good chance to be playing in the second weekend. We will see. Selection Sunday next week. We wrap up Sunday Karma coming up next with our Palermo's picks. We'll take a deeper look at Bucks Cavs coming up tonight at Fiserv Forum. That's next as we wrap up Sunday Karma.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Can't go wrong with Palermo's Pizza. It's just Palermo's Pizza day, to be honest with you. Beautiful weather outside. Gonna take the dog on a nice long walk. And I'm going to pop in a Mambo Italiano I got in the freezer.
Mambo.
Very well done. Pick and save. Sendex. Metro Market. Get it. Palermo's Pizza. Connie's. Urban Pie. It's unbelievable. Can't go wrong.
I got a Screaming Sicilian in the freezer now.
And you're popping that in today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Yeah, I've been looking at it for the perfect time.
I love a good Palermo's Pizza. So we're going to pop that in today. And tonight, it's Bucks Cavaliers. The best team in the Eastern Conference is in town to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Second night of a back-to-back as the Bucks fall to the Orlando Magic last night, 111-109. That game will be nationally televised, by the way, on ESPN. And if you're driving around, you got a radio, you want to listen to our buddy Gabe Neitzel and Justin Garcia, you can hear that 100.5 ESPN Madison and 620 WTMJ. The Bucks are on an incredible stretch, as we touched on a little bit earlier. Listen to this next seven games for the Bucks. I mean, you are truly going to figure out what this team is made of. They host the Cavs. They go to Indiana on Tuesday. They return home for a three-game home stretch Thursday and through next weekend. Lakers Thursday, Pacers Saturday, Thunder, the top team in the Western Conference, next Sunday at Fiserv Forum. Then they go to Golden State, and then they go to the Lakers. All between now and Tuesday, March 18th. You're going to find out what this team is made of. I think the Bucks win tonight, Kyle, on the second night of a back-to-back. To get Gary Trent Jr. back tonight. They've played the Cavs really tough this year, and the Cavs have been awesome.
They have been, and this is a different Bucks team, right? Like, I think the Bucks
post-trade deadline, yeah.
They've figured it out. They have some pieces. I mean, you're talking about Jericho Sims, who basically, you know, maybe we thought was going to be a bench guy, really wasn't playing too much with the Knicks, and now he's getting some decent minutes because of the fact that, you know, small but decent minutes because of the fact that Bobby Portis is out. So it turned out to be a good trade.
Having the best player matters, and Giannis has had one of his best seasons ever. I don't want people to lose sight of how incredible he's been this year. 37 last night in the loss. Expect more of that tonight from the true MVP candidate, That is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Sunday morning. Always a joy to wake up on a Sunday and do this show. We're back with you next week on Selection Sunday. Plenty of off-season headlines coming this week in the NFL. Free agency opens tomorrow, so make sure you're locked with us here on ESPN Wisconsin, Mr. Irrelevant, Kyle Bruston-Ortman, and all the in-betweens. That'll do it for us. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.